And That They Dance by The Greater Grief, part of Prosetober Wolfstar Shortfix. This fic was recorded for January of the year of the OTP Fest. When the Lupin Blacks arrived home, the cottage was exactly as Sirius had left it 3 weeks before, when he had dropped everything and hurried to Remus's aid. All the water in the kettle had evaporated, and the untouched teacup on the counter had a scummy film of mold floating on top of the off-brown liquid within. The clothes he had been wearing were in a pile on the bedroom floor, where they had been hastily discarded in favor of wizard's robes and more solid footwear. Remus leaned heavily on his cane as he limped from the hearth to the sofa, brushing off Sirius's attempts to help him walk.
"Pads, I'm fine," he insisted, collapsing onto the brown leather loveseat. "The healers said I'm all right to walk on my own now, so there's no need to baby me."
"They didn't say I couldn't baby my baby,"
Sirius pouted, parking himself on the edge of their stout coffee table. Remus rolled his eyes at his husband's disgusting use of the word baby as a term of endearment, but couldn't help the smile that came over him when Sirius leaned forward and kissed him sweetly.
"New rule," Remus told him between kisses. "You're to treat me like the intelligent and capable human-wolf hybrid I am, and only assist me if and when I explicitly request it."
"But you'll never actually ask when you need it,"
Sirius scolded, ruffling Remus's curls with his knuckles.
"You never have. Not as a boy, not as a teen, and certainly not now."
"Let me take care of you, Mooney,"
he beseeched, looking straight into the man's soul through his honey-colored eyes.
"Let me show you that I love you."
"I know you do,"
Remus said, softly cupping Sirius's jaw with a warm hand.
"You don't have to prove it to me by carrying me around and doing everything for me, Pads. Just you being here is enough."
"I wish it could be,"
Sirius whispered back, turning his face in so as to kiss his husband's palm. It was a rather ominous statement, Remus thought, but he let it slide, thinking that Sirius was just feeling sentimental now that they were home from the hospital. In a few days' time, he would come to see how wrong he had been. Remus wanted nothing more than to be back on his feet, so he followed the healer's recommended physical therapy regimen to a T. He did his stretches and exercises as soon as he was out of bed in the morning, and took Padfoot, usually the dog, sometimes the man, for a walk twice a day, pushing to travel a bit farther each time. They used this reprieve Dumbledore had granted them from the war to the best of their ability, spending as much time together as possible. When the first week of October rolled around, Sirius surprised Remus with a picnic lunch on their property, complete with all his autumn favorites: mulled wine, thick, creamy potato soup, and flaky pastries, chocolate, apple cinnamon, and pumpkin.
"Now, what's all this about?" Remus asked, sucking a drip of molten chocolate from his thumb.
Sirius shrugged nonchalantly, as if him baking and cooking were an everyday occurrence. Something about his demeanor was off, Remus thought, but he wasn't going to press it if Sirius didn't want to discuss it, not when today had been so perfect.
"It's been 5 years, you know,"
Sirius said eventually, twisting a blade of grass between his thumb and forefinger. He was lounging on his side, holding his weight up on one elbow.
"Since you and I got together, that is. 5 years today."
I didn't realize you were counting," Remus murmured, frowning slightly. "I figured our wedding anniversary was a good place to count from, but if I'd known this was important to you as well..."
"No, that's not what this is about,"
Sirius assured him, shifting his leg so that he could stroke the round bone of Remus's ankle with his stocking-clad foot.
"I didn't expect you to know the specific date or anything. Just wanted something to celebrate. So I thought, why not the day we quit being a pair of pining fools?"
"I was so nervous when you asked me to meet you in the astronomy tower," Remus admitted, reminiscing on that chilly October day back in fifth year. "People only ever went there
to get off together, yes,"
Sirius laughed, resting his head on the picnic blanket and staring up at his husband with a boyish grin.
That's why it had to be there, you numpty. I didn't want there to be any way for you to misunderstand my intentions.
Ah, I see, Remus said, nodding wisely. At the time, I thought you must be so daft to have invited me there. I had no idea what you were going to say.
Of course you thought that,
Sirius scoffed, playfully poking Remus in the ribs. He was careful to avoid the center of his chest, where his newest scars were still paper-thin and susceptible to re-injury.
You never have been able to understand just how gorgeous and funny and sweet you are. Everyone thinks it, you know. I'm just the only one who's ever been brave enough to say it to your face.
Instead of responding, Remus threaded his fingers into Sirius's ink-black hair, scratching at his scalp in exactly the way he liked. Sirius wiggled his body closer, laid his head in the man's lap, angling it so that Remus would have access to his whole scalp. If Sirius's tongue had lolled out of his mouth in a show of canine pleasure, it wouldn't have surprised Remus a lick. They were still outside when the sun dipped below the horizon, taking with it the heat of the day. As soon as Remus pulled the sleeves of his cardigan down over his hands like a makeshift pair of mittens, Sirius declared it time to retreat into the warmth of the cottage. Remus went on ahead of him to put the kettle on, while Sirius packed up their dishes and blanket. When he entered the cottage, Sirius found that Remus had stoked the fire in the hearth and put on a record, Nick Drake's Pink Moon, a mutual favorite. In the kitchen, Sirius pulled his sleepy partner into a tight embrace, which morphed into a slow, amorous swaying of bodies that looked an awful lot like dancing. Remus let Sirius lead him in gentle circles, trusting that he would keep him from striking a hip against the counter.
"This is nice," Remus murmured, breathing a puff of warm air against Sirius's ear as he spoke.
"It is," Sirius agreed, resting his chin on his husband's shoulder.
They moved in time with the music, knowing exactly where the other's feet would go and when. For the length of a few songs, they enjoyed their last moments of peace and happiness, a sort of calm before the storm.